Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, so as I'm saying, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is absolutely accurate. You can't breathe, nothing else matters. After that, you get no sleep. Believe me, do that for a week or so, nothing else matters. You have no water, nothing else matters. Well, right behind that is food. And certainly that's something that most of us absolutely take for granted. But there is a subset of society who doesn't take that for granted at any time, and more than any time, it is affecting them in the pandemic. So we welcome Greg Totter, the Senior Manager for Public Relations at the Greater Chicago Food Depository. Welcome.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, thanks for all you do and all they do at the Greater Chicago Food Depository. And like I say, it should be a top-of-mind thing for all of us all the time that there are people, and closer to us than we may realize, who are hungry. But now more than ever, it's a problem. So my first question is, obviously we know about supply chains and all that at grocery stores, but in situations where people are chronically hungry anyway, how has the pandemic set them back?
Yeah, so just for stepping back just for a moment for a little context, even before the pandemic struck, 1 in 8 people in Cook County were experiencing food insecurity on any given day. Mm-hmm. And you're right, it's in every community. You know, obviously, some neighborhoods are more disproportionately affected than others, but there are people experiencing food insecurity in every neighborhood. It could be your neighbors, it could be your friends, and you just don't know. With this pandemic, obviously, we're seeing a dramatic increase in need for food assistance across our network. So the Food Depository, we serve a network of hundreds of partners and programs in Chicago and throughout Cook County. Most of them are food pantries, but also soup kitchens and shelters. And across our network, we're serving 40% more people in recent weeks because of the pandemic. And so it's a dramatic increase in need. The lines are longer. And it's just a really tough situation right now. I mean, you have people who are experiencing food insecurity for the first time, going to the food pantry for the first time in their lives. And so it's, they're out of work or they're furloughed and they're just facing real financial hardship. Their income is down. Their costs are up. Maybe they have kids, and their kids are home. And so they have increased costs and just less access to food, perhaps. And so it is a very tough situation that we're in right now.
It's interesting. What you are basically defining is largely an economic problem, and people who were maybe on the periphery of being hungry suddenly are falling squarely into the middle of, hey, I got to go to the soup kitchen. And I certainly have that, but I understand that. I would assume that for the Greater Chicago Food Depository, the big fear would be where to get the food. So have the supply lines been a problem since this started?
So that too is a growing concern, right? The supply chain has certainly been stressed. I'm sure, there's been a lot of reporting on that recently, a lot of good stories. There's a story in today's Tribune about it. We're the Food Depository. We receive food from a variety of sources. In normal times, we receive a lot of donations from food manufacturers and grocery stores, wholesalers. So donations are down in general because those companies are trying to catch up and meet retail demand, right? So we're having to buy more food, and the food that we're trying to purchase is more expensive than usual, or it's either harder to get or impossible to get. So our response to the pandemic, which is basically, there's been many aspects of it, but kind of the primary focus is to keep our network strong and operational, continuing to distribute food out across all of those food pantries. It's been very expensive as a result.
Oh, I would not doubt that for a moment. And fortunately, I had read that you got a $1 million grant, which I know does not last forever in these times, to say the least. But I would think the reason I'm dwelling on what's not monetary is that there are many people who I won't say they're smug, but they're comfortable in the fact that this will never happen to them. And depending upon the resources that they have, economically, that may be true. But what a pandemic like this points out, that it may not be a case of whether you can pay for it. It may be a case of, is it available?
Right.
And
no, absolutely. Absolutely. And to your point about the grant, I mean, we're about 40% over our operating budget for the fiscal year. And so our costs are far beyond what they usually are. And so the support of the community, including that grant you referenced, has been wonderful. And it's been great, and it's been keeping pace so far. But the concern is, you know, obviously donor fatigue is a concern the longer this thing goes on. And so that's why we've been stressing that we're so grateful for the support of the community, but we're going to continue to need it because the economic impact of this crisis is going to have a long tail.
Oh, absolutely. And we also have no idea what's going to happen with a second or a tertiary web, outbreak of this, because it's unlikely, since it is viral, that it's going to just resolve now and we won't see it again. More likely there'll be backlashes, if not whole other waves of this. So I would assume you're planning for long haul right there. Now, what I found interesting is that many people think that if you are going to be eligible, you're going to meet certain economic qualifications. And certainly for government programs, that's true. But there are no income requirements for what you do, are there?
No. You can go to any, if you need food, you can go to any food pantry, any program in our network. And there's no, and all will be served as long as supplies last. And so there, you know, usually we ask for proof of address because some food pantries have geographical boundaries. But even those kind of, rules are loosening because we're just trying to feed people as efficiently as possible and really kind of like bare bones intake process. So anybody who needs food should go to our website at chicagosfoodbank.org. And you can find, you can just press the button that says find food. It's one of the first buttons you'll see, and it'll take you to a locator map. And you can just put in your address, and it'll take you to the nearest food pantry to you.
Which is great in terms of if you have internet connectivity, and chicagosfoodbank.org. If you don't, I know you've done a couple distributions today, and then Friday there's a couple coming up on the South Shore at the South Shore Works and Real Men Charities, and also at Trinity United Church of Christ in Washington Heights and Roseland. What times are you there?
I don't have those times in front of me. But if you go to our website, all that information is there. It's also 773-247-3663 is the number you can, that's our main number. So if you need food, you can call that number and we'll direct you to the place nearest you. Those distributions you just referenced, those are some of our new mobile distributions that we're doing in communities of color on the south and west side. Mm-hmm. We know that these communities are being harder hit by COVID-19. They were already disproportionately affected by food insecurity before. Neighborhoods that we've identified as having real gaps in service. And so those distributions, they're open to the public. They're really intended for the people who kind of live in those neighborhoods or right nearby. And so that's why we're sort of, you know, emphasizing to people, if you need food, go to our website or call the number, because there's no need if you live, you know, in Rogers Park to drive down to Washington Heights. There's food pantries much closer.
Right. And that's, by the way, assuming you can drive. That's why the mobiles are very good for certain areas. I want to give that phone number again, 773-247-3663, because very often when people are in a condition where they don't have food, internet might be a luxury that's escaping them at this moment. So I think it's important to know that you don't have to go online. Now, assuming that you are online and assuming that you've got a couple extra bucks, you can donate. And that's easy to do right there on the shelf. Now, do you also take food donations?
So we do, but what we've been sort of stressing even before this, but definitely during this time, that if people want to help, the very best thing they can do is to donate money. Because of the cost of this effort, and because we're a food bank, we can buy food at scale, and we can buy what's most needed. You know, part of our effort has been packing these emergency food boxes that are now going out in these mobile distributions that we were just talking about. And so you know, buying the food that's going in those boxes, buying the boxes, you know. And so we have a handle on kind of what we need. When we get food donations via food drives, you know, it's a really much appreciated gesture, but we have to dedicate volunteer and staff time sorting through those products. And it may not be something that we need anyway. Okay. And so really, the best thing people can do is go to chicagosfoodbank.org/COVID if they want to support this effort. And it's so needed, and it's just really much appreciated.
You know, one of the things over the years, last few decades, we've heard about or read about are restaurants that have wanted to distribute food, and their lawyers have said, no, you can't do that, and things of this nature. Whenever you're talking about something that is reaching people as critical as food, there's also the possibility of legal action if something goes wrong. I would assume you're indemnified or you couldn't be doing this, but how do you handle that?
Well, I don't know that I could speak to that exactly, but what I would say is, you know, when we do get offers of food from restaurants, because we're mostly dealing with shelf-stable food or fresh produce, we're directing a lot of, we've been in partnership with Salvation Army during mm-hmm. this response, so they're doing a lot of the hot meal donations, and so many of those generous offers, we might direct their way or to another charity that's more dealing with the hot meals. And so in normal times, we do have food rescue partners. That's what we call food rescue. And some of them are chains like, you know, Starbucks, actually. They've been a really good partner for us in recent years with food rescue, where they, you know, get like their breakfast items and our drivers drive them out to, you know, homeless shelters and whatnot, and that's been a great thing. But, you know, even those relationships have been challenged in this difficult time, you know, we're really just sort of doing what we can, and this situation seems to change a little bit day by day.
Oh, sure it does. Now, of course, the non-perishable food boxes, that's a good item just by the nature of being non-perishable. But when you're talking about fresh produce or frozen protein, that's a little harder logistically to handle. How many locations do you have?
So we partner with more than 700 partners and programs in Chicago and throughout Cook County. In normal times, fresh produce is about 40% of the food that we distribute out across our network. And so, you know, and that's been sort of a shift in recent years towards the fresh produce and the healthier food, not just the kind of the canned and boxed food that a lot of food pantries are sort of known for. And so we believe in that. And, you know, definitely during this crisis, there's been kind of a move back towards the non-perishable food. For all the reasons that you might imagine, it's, you know, you can put it in a box. It makes it easy for grab and go to reduce risk, you know, so it just makes it a quicker kind of transaction out at a food pantry. Storage, you don't have to worry about cold storage as much. But as things sort of stabilize, I mean, and we're still distributing fresh produce and fresh, you know, frozen protein. But as things stabilize, we'll be shifting back to more produce as well.
Oh, sure. Is there anything right now that you normally would include that you're finding impossible to get in terms of food items?
So kind of a staple of the food that we would buy and distribute would be, you know, like canned entrees, you know,
mm-hmm.
like yep. canned pasta, canned fruits and vegetables. So we're able to get some of that, but they're just way more expensive than usual, and it's taking much longer to get them. And so that's the type of thing that we're bumping up against, you know, just competition in the supply chain as manufacturers are trying to sort of meet that retail demand.
Well, it's wonderful what you're doing, and literally you are saving lives. And I would urge anyone to go to chicagosfoodbank.org, particularly if there's someone in your life you know who will benefit from this, who maybe is not in a position or not willing to seek it out themselves. So 773-247-3663, chicagosfoodbank.org. And thank you, Greg, for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. And just one quick point to add. If you are an older adult living in Chicago, you're having a hard time even leaving your apartment, and you don't have anybody who could go to a food pantry for you, you should call 311. They can help you out.
Excellent. I appreciate that.